Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth, and we are thrilled to have on the phone with us Chaplain Gordon Gathright, and he of course is with Cassia Augustana of Hastings, and we are joined today also by Diane Perrier. She is the TCU social worker that helps coordinate with families to be sure that your loved ones are taken care of as they transition in and out of Augustana, Cassia. So thank you and welcome to both of you. How have you been?
Doing well.
Yep, things are good here.
Well, I'm so glad. So, Chaplain Gordon Gathright, could you please tell us a little bit about your facility? And really, I know a lot of people think of it as a transitional care. It's also a long-term care. So how it kind of shakes out and what the differences are, please?
Sure. Our transitional care is for people coming from the hospital who've had surgeries or been ill and just need to recover and get back on their feet again. And so their stay is, varies from 10 days to 3 months. It kind of varies, depends on different people, obviously. And then our long-term care is for people who can no longer live in their homes without help. They need care in every way. And so we have a wonderful spot here for them to be able to move and to live and to transition their care in this place. So that's always a good thing.
You know, it is. And Diane, I have to tell you, my mom used your services probably a couple years ago now, and it really was so helpful for us as a family because she had some surgery and then needed to go someplace to recover and get her therapy for just a short period of time. And we were just so grateful that, you know, somebody like you got involved to help make those decisions and help coordinate everything. So can you please explain to people, let's say somebody has surgery in a hospital someplace, how do you fit into the picture, Diane?
Okay, what happens is that we get a referral from the hospital social worker, and then it goes to our admissions coordinator to look over and to look at what, insurance and if they're approved to come to this facility. So there's a lot of stuff done on the front end at the hospital. So then when they enter our facility, we have private rooms on the first floor for all new residents. And then I meet with them, the nursing staff meets with them, and then therapy does an assessment. They try to do it the first day, but it depends on the time of day that the person arrives. And then from there, they set up a schedule in therapy, and I meet with the residents to find, I complete a social history, so I learn a little bit about their background, where they were born, and jobs they had, family. So that's my favorite part of the job, is getting to know the people. you know, we see who they are the day they enter. We don't know, if we didn't know them before, we do not know who they were in the past. So,
and that's a big part of somebody getting well quicker, isn't it?
Yes,
if they
yes.
feel more comfortable, and I think that's wonderful that you do that.
And it helps our other staff. I write a note that covers all this kind of stuff. So it's important so staff have things to talk to the resident about. And, you know, residents feel like they belong more if people seem to be more interested in what they did in the past and about their family. Everyone's happy and proud of their family, so people love to talk about that. You know, so that's kind of, and then a big part of my job is in also the discharge planning. The residents, you know, nobody really wants to come to a nursing home. And so fortunately, I can say, well, you can't stay here. If you want to, right now, you know, you're on the short-term stay floor.
Oh, I'm so glad that you acknowledge that, because nothing against your wonderful facility, but you're right. And I would assume that if somebody is recovering from fall or a surgery or something, you know, they're already thinking in the back of their mind, they have a lot of things that they're worried about. And so the fact that you can make them feel so at home is so great.
Right, and that they're not going to be stuck here.
Yeah.
You know, I think everyone kind of thinks, well, will I ever get to go leave? And we tell them from the start, nope, you will be leaving. And then I help find home care for them, that there are many different companies out there, and we usually follow who their primary physician is, what, you know, clinic settings they work with. So from day one, we're already working on a plan for them to go home. There, many times we had somebody that really isn't going to go home, that the family kind of had been thinking about assisted living for quite a while, but mom or dad don't want to talk about it, won't do it. Well, then there's that fall, and they're in the nursing home, and so then we really start looking at assisted living options. So many times people will leave, and, you know, that's, we always try to say that it doesn't mean it has to be forever, it's just a next step, and most people really love it, the socialization and the security, safety of knowing people there are there to help them too. So many people leave here and do go to an assisted living.
And what would you say the average length of stay is for the people that you help?
Probably about 7 to 10 days. Some is driven by insurance, and that is such a big part of what nursing homes are dealing with today, because a lot of the Advantage programs tell us when they feel the person is done. And so we'll get a call and they'll say, nope, they're going to be done tomorrow.
Oh, dear.
So it's not always what we feel they need. It's sometimes what the insurance company says.
And that insurance company has never even met these patients, have they?
No. And, you know, we have medical doctors here, we have nurse practitioners, and we have therapists that have a lot of training and expertise, and yet, you know, sometimes it's the insurance person that doesn't really know the person at all is saying they can go home. So that's probably the more frustrating part of our work here.
And what can you do about that, Diane? Are you able to maybe negotiate with them and say, you know, you might be going off standards, but this person is having a hard time recovering. They could use a day or two. Do you have wiggle room in that kind of stuff?
There is an appeal process, and sometimes the patient will win and sometimes they lose. But, yeah, there is that appeal. And, you know, we can submit a lot of information, but it really is up to the insurance company whether they're going to continue the care. Certainly the person can always stay with private pay, but that is pretty difficult too for a lot of people.
Would you explain the insurance piece to our listeners? Is it Medicare that helps pay for some of that, or do you have to be at a certain age, or how does it work? And then there's a limit to that, isn't it? And then
yes.
You have to go to private pay?
It's so different today than it was 5 years ago with insurance. So I can kind of speak a little bit, but every year new options become available, and every individual people's coverage is different with different companies. So I try not to talk too much about it because I don't want to confuse people, but there is one plan is that you have Medicare and that you have a supplement that you have, you're paying for, you know, another program, another health benefit. Or you can combine those, which is called an Advantage program.
Mm-hmm.
And you've combined your Medicare and your insurance supplement. So the insurance really takes over the Medicare benefit. So they're combined, and that's the companies that are more likely to call. And the good thing about them is they don't require a three-night stay in a hospital. The other side to that is they're not going to let you stay forever either. I mean, they're just going to, on day 10 probably or 15, say you're done. If you have straight Medicare, straight supplement, there is 20 days. Days 1 through 20 are paid fully by Medicare, and days 21 through 100 is paid by 80% Medicare and 20% the insurance plan. Nobody gets 100 days unless they're on like a wound vac or an IV antibiotic that, you know, something really significant that we often get people saying, well, I have 100 days. And you have 100 days if there is a skilled need. And the skilled need is either therapy or, like I said, some nursing care that is really above and beyond what, you know, in the years past somebody would have been in the hospital with it, like a wound vac that needs to be changed daily or more than once a day. So even if it's three times a week, the insurance company will say they can go home and home care can do that. I can't really just give you, say that this is how it always is with everyone, because the situations change. It all goes by doctor orders, and the need for therapy is the big thing that keeps people at our facility in the TCU.
You know, what's so great, though, is that we have a point person like you that can help navigate through that system, because it's got to be so overwhelming for people.
Oh, it is, and disappointing. You know, especially for the person, say, right now, with COVID, a benefit for us is that they have waived that three-night stay in the hospital that, say, if you have a straight insurance program, supplement, and Medicare, they would normally require a three-night stay in a hospital. So that's been waived now. So people can come in. We're not seeing a lot of, you know, referrals for the hips anymore. These people are managing going home with home care. You know, at least insurance is paying for some time.
So that's a piece of obviously what you do as a social worker. And then are you the one that is involved in like a family care conference, that kind of thing too?
Yes, we try to have one within the first few days. And now it's by phone, but prior to COVID, it was, you know, the family would gather and we could meet them and they could meet us. And we try to do it as soon as possible so they get to know us. And I think that supports a trust factor. And they also then know who they can contact if they have questions. So we have that by phone now, and family members, like every Tuesday we have them, so following this we'll have it. And we'll have maybe 2-3 family members on the phone at one time talking about how things are. Therapy is there, that they discuss how the person is doing in therapy and their goals for discharge. The nursing will talk about any medical concerns or changes or med changes. And then I will talk about, I do cognitive and mood testing, and I share that information. And then I talk quite a bit about the discharge process and setting up home care.
Are there a lot of companies out there that can help people in their homes?
Yes. And Medicare pays for therapy in the home and nursing care for maybe 2-3 weeks. So that's a nice benefit of Medicare.
It absolutely is. And I think it's nice that you give people those options and let them know really what they're entitled to, because a lot of people might not know that. If you do mood assessments, do you see that the COVID times have kind of hurt people in their moods? They're struggling a little bit more?
You know, lots of times the resident doesn't want to appear to have, you know, have any mood problems. I hear it more from the family members that will say, since COVID started, you know, my mom, my dad, you know, they're just have, it seems so much more depressed because they can't do what they want to do. They were so involved in the church or ladies groups or doing things, and now they're so isolated. So we hear that, you know, that's on a daily basis, that COVID for any person that was living in their home alone, they don't have the outlets that they had. So they're coming, you know, there is far more depression. Sometimes the resident will admit it, but, you know, that generation doesn't like to, you know, feel like they want to have depression or anything. So mood has been affected. You know, here at the facility, we can't have people come in the building like we used to.
Right.
We have people visiting outside the window where the resident will have their phone and the family has their phone and they can see them, though. And then we have a program called Essential Caregiver that after 14 days of precautions for any new admit, then if one designated family member can come, or friend, for 1 hour a day on a scheduled basis. You know, they have to call ahead and schedule that because we're limited to the numbers of visitors in the building at any one time. And we have to track, you know, in case we would, you know, have COVID or something, we need to track who all was in the building. So there is that option. And then, of course, if somebody is on hospice and at the very end of life, we do have compassionate care visits.
Oh, Diane, things have changed so much, haven't they?
Oh, totally for us. Yes. And so much is done over the phone now, the contact with the families, and, you know, they just, you know, more calls to us probably too, because they can't come in and just all of a sudden chat with the nurse or chat with, you know, a staff person that walks in or walks by or talk to their family at any length.
You know, when somebody is in the hospital and they're looking for a place to come, does it automatically pop up to them that Augustana is an option if they live in this area, or how does that work? Let's say you're in a hospital, maybe in the Twin Cities someplace. How does it work? How do you get involved, or how do people know about Augustana, Cassia?
Well, it's a good question. It's from the hospital social workers. So certainly we like to keep, you know, real good working relationships with them. By and large, people like to be as close to home as possible. You know, our admissions are usually the Hastings area, Red Wing, Cannon Falls, you know, this general area, Cottage Grove. There are a lot of new TCUs popping up and stuff too. So, you know, we have to keep being diligent to, you know, have it be, you know, a five-star nursing home.
Well, it certainly is, and we're grateful that you explained some of the behind-the-scenes to us. Really good information, Diane. Thank you for all you're doing. Diane Perrier, she is the TCU social worker at Cassia Augustana, and our friend Chaplain Gordon Gethright, he is keeping everything moving forward in such a positive way there as well. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
And thank you so much. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Oh, Lord.